This past week, I was talking to a family, and they have these little kids. For whatever reason, they enjoy watching Little House on the Prairie. Of course, that's an old show, and when I was a kid, we watched it too. And Michael Landon, he played Pa, and it was based on those books written by Laura Ingalls Wilder. And I found those books to be really well written. I've read them all at least once, maybe twice. And as I think back, I mean, if you remember the show, it was always the same opening credits. This little girl is running down the hill, and then she falls and then gets back up. I think she was the youngest, Carrie. But the one book that stands out was titled Farmer Boy. And I remember in that they were going to maybe it was a fair, and they were going to have a competition for the biggest pumpkin. And they had figured out a way to make pumpkins grow bigger than they ordinarily would, and it was to cut the vine and to feed it some milk. Now, then I started looking this up on the internet, and they say they have also tried beer, especially malt liquor. They seems like pumpkins like Colt 45. But you start to read about these things, and they actually make a pumpkin that can get over 2,000 pounds. The record is like 2,500. That's a lot of pumpkin pie. And then if you go down to Nakusa, every fall they have the giant pumpkin drop. And that's all they do. They just take the pumpkin up, and they count down from 10, and they let it splat. I'd like to see that sometime. But what it illustrates is that as human beings, we're always trying to improve on things. Bigger and better, and especially like in terms of technology. I mean, if you have a phone, no sooner have you bought it, than it's already outdated. There's going to be something the latest and the greatest. That's the way we are. I mean, we use our ingenuity to make things better. And well, that's the way God designed us. Except that there are certain times where we just can't have our way. That we look at the gospel, it seems like Jesus kind of thwarts our effort to improve the world. That we were supposed to just leave the weeds in the wheat field. We can't just exercise our demons and be done with it, get all the evil pushed out, and then we can just relax. There's nothing wrong. There's no danger, no possibility of sin. But this is God's world, not ours, and His ways are not our ways. He tells us if we remove the weeds, we could damage ourselves. We could inhibit the capacity that God has given us to become holy. But the hardest things can draw out the best in us. Certainly, we have to fight against them, and there are some tendencies that we have to think about and maybe meditate on. One is that if you can do it, well, then you should, or you have every right to. And that's not always true. Sometimes we come up with poor solutions, and we look back and say, oh, we made it a bigger mess than it was before we even intervened. Just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. And we can thank God that the Lord has revealed, He's taught us certain things. Don't do these things. Why not? Why not cheat and lie and steal? If nobody knows, who cares? No blood, no foul. But the problem with sin, as Oscar Wilde, the great playwright, discovered, he had his own struggles. He said, it's not so much what you do, it's what you become. That's the problem. If we do bad things, that has a corrosive impact on our personality. Our hearts grow smaller, and then we just can't receive love, and we certainly can't give much of it either. And so, just because we can do something, maybe we should consider, think about before we rush headlong into it. This is where science and religion help each other. You see, they're meant to be complementary. I know the world, it gets this all confused, and if you have faith, you can't really have any love for science. That's patently false, but it's always, it seems like it's an old lie that's still around. They used to say, for example, science takes things apart to understand how they work. Religion puts things together to understand what they mean. They're two ways of looking at the same truth. Now, just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. And in terms of the evils that are in our world, these weeds in the wheat field, and this isn't just some theoretical evil out there, but there are weeds, well, at least in my heart, maybe you find a few in your own. And we can't just excise those and just cut them out. But what can we do? The old virtue of tolerance, which is a very misunderstood word. Tolerance was always to bear evil patiently, to know that God, His grace is sufficient, and to know that even if it takes me a lifetime, with God's help, we can overcome many difficult things. And it's to bear other people and their evils patiently too. Tolerance is not to condone evil, to pat a person on the head and say, ah, don't worry about it. If we have a friend or a family member who struggles with addiction, maybe to alcohol, we don't take them out and buy them a beer and say, hey, it's just the way things are, don't worry. That wouldn't be love. That would damage a person. And it's, whatever tolerance is, it's not a band-aid either. But just make it go away or just disguise it or cloak it. For example, people today, they struggle with their identity. Their gender, I guess, is what people call it. And just to say, well, you can be whatever you want, that's not the way God designed us. Love says, I will walk with you. I'll stay with you. I care for you. I don't understand all of it either, but I'm not your judge. But I will be faithful to you. Everyone is going through different struggles. And to tell people that's not a sin, or to tell them, hey, you can be whatever you want to be, well, that sells love short. This week is National Natural Family Planning Week, which it's because of Pope Paul VI in 1968. He wrote this encyclical about love, an openness to human life. And it was controversial then, and it still is now. It was the idea of trusting God and His plan for how many babies to have. But the world started to try to give us other ways, and to speak out against it wasn't very popular. But love doesn't worry about what other people think. Love wants what is best for the person. Love is patient and kind, but it's honest. And the Pope, he got himself a real black eye over that encyclical Humanae Vitae, saying that contraception could lead us to sadness, to selfishness, to manipulation. People could get used and hurt. And he was right then and continues to be right now. Whatever tolerance is, it doesn't say that there aren't any weeds. We know that there are. And each one of us, because God loves us, He gives us the courage to resist, to try to overcome these things with His grace. So we have to abide a little bit of brokenness, a little bit of evil, a few weeds in our world. I don't like it either. I like to have a nice, tidy office. If you come, you'll see my desk is all clean. You'll think, wow, that's a guy that's really organized. No, any of my work that I don't get done, I just slide it into the garbage and move on. That's how I keep things nice. When I was teaching, the kids realized that I've got a little bit of, I think, OCD, and I don't like any garbage on the floor. And the students, they pick up on any of your flaws, and so periodically they would throw a little garbage and see if I would notice. And I couldn't help myself. I would unconsciously walk over and pick it up, and then they would snicker, see? Now, I don't like things that are untidy, especially my own heart. But to overcome that, just to show that I'm trying to grow spiritually too, I've ripped all the carpet off the sanctuary and made it a big mess. And I'm just going to live with it for as long as I'm here. Spiritually, this is symbolic of our life. It's a bit messy. It's a struggle for all of us. But the antidote, the solution, is not to say we don't have any problems or to pretend that we're doing better than we are. The solution is to say that there's someone who loves me unconditionally. He knows my struggles and He understands. He forgives me when I'm sorry, humbled, and repentant. And every time I let Him help me, He allows me to help others. True love, that's why God permits a few weeds to help us to believe in love, which is humble and kind, honest and courageous. The last little image is of, you know much about pearls and oysters, you know how they're made. If there's no dirt, no little piece of debris, there's no pearl. One depends on the other. If there are no weeds in our wheat, there'd be no saints either. God permits things to help us to grow. His ways are not our ways, and this is His world, not ours. But He allows us to live here, to grow here. And He's come here and stays with us so that one day we can stay with Him.